In this episode, Andre and I share our disdain for social media and everything that it touches. Thanks for checking out the Chris and Andre Show. Now let's get to it.
I really don't like social media. Like, I'm just...
Andre Powell doesn't like social media?
Yeah, so Reddit was like one of the last places I used just for some dev stuff. But a funny thing happened. Serif Software got bought by Canva.
Mm-hmm.
Serif Software are the creators of Affinity Publisher, Designer, and Photo, which I use. And, you know, I really like their products. And it's and I also use GIMP and Photoshop. I'm sorry, GIMP and Inkscape every now and then. And it all depends on what I need to do. But I've been really impressed with the quality of the software. And I don't like Canva. I just don't like it. It's just not for me. It's not professional enough for me. It's like... Canva is like, for me, people that use italic fonts in emails. It's
like, I mean, like default or just anytime? Just sometimes you want to use italic to emphasize certain parts.
It's the curse of italics. You know that? You ever get an email from an older person? It's like in the hand, crappy.
The calligraphy style.
That's Canva for me.
I mean, yes, I think Canva is essentially like a layman's visual, you know, layout graphic design tool, right? It's not meant for people who have any real understanding of any sort of Photoshop or, you know, like graphic manipulation tools. It's meant for everybody else that doesn't want to take the time to learn, you know, or... And so for certain applications, like I think Canva is a great tool, but yes, I understand what you're saying that for you, it does not serve any of the purposes that you need.
It's an insult.
It is. No, I mean, I totally get that. I use it occasionally, usually for stuff like within the family, like when we're making like little flyers or little, you know, like things like that around the house. But everything else I use GIMP or Inkscape. At this point, because I'm not going to pay for anything.
Jeez. Well, so that brings me to my second point. I was very disturbed because I don't want to have a web-based tool. Like there's sometimes I don't like web apps for like everything shouldn't be a web app. Like it just doesn't make sense to me. Canva is a type of tool that shouldn't be a web app. Figma, when Adobe was going to buy Figma, I was like, I really don't care because I don't really like Figma that much. To be quite honest with you, I just don't. Some applications shouldn't be web apps. I can't get behind that. Not saying web apps are inherent. Like Riverside is a web app, not inherently bad.
Right. It's not that all web apps are bad. It's just that not all apps belong as a web app. Right.
Right. Give me a. Yeah, so there's that. I've been spending money on I've been buying software from indie developers because I you know, there's a couple projects where I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'll buy it. Case in point, I'm a big fan of Joplin. I was using Joplin before it got super popular where it is now. And this is what, when we were at eArea, I was telling people, like, hey, forget Evernote, use Joplin. Then I had a sync issue and it kind of pissed me off and it wasn't Joplin's fault. I moved all my notes to strict Markdown and was using VS Code, but it was just kind of cumbersome. Wasn't bad, but it was kind of cumbersome. So I found this application called UpNote with a lifetime license of like $30. To be honest, I was kind of skeptical because the developers are based out of Vietnam. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I should, you know, but I was like, dang, I'm not putting confidential information in a Note application anyway. So I spent the $30. Not a heavy investment. I don't mind investing in developers. Joplin is a very popular program right now. Like there's a lot of activity around it. I think I liked it more when it was niche and not everybody knew about it. And then when it became popular, I was like, I don't want to use that anymore.
So what you're saying is that you are a hipster software developer.
I am. I think
you only like things until they become mainstream. And then you're like, oh, they totally sold out. And now it's not, it doesn't fit my profile anymore.
I was actually thinking, I was like, man, am I becoming like a software snob? And it's
you
like,
you are. You absolutely are. Don't fucking pretend like you're not.
So I was like, oh, I'll spend. So I don't mind paying for software. Back how this connects to Affinity is that mm-hmm. I like their licensing. So
you have an affinity for their licensing.
Yes, you of course you did that. Yeah. I'm not a. Their licensing is actually pretty good. So for my initial spend for version one of their suite was like $130, I think. Mm-hmm. They came out with version two, and it was just like I think $80 or $90 upgrade. Nothing extravagant. I was like, oh, I can afford that. I don't mind licensing like that. I don't mind. I don't want to pay subscriptions. That's like, unless there's a reason yeah. there should be a subscription, like you're running servers and you're hosting everything. Like it doesn't, like Adobe's pricing doesn't make sense to me. Like I don't understand it. I don't get how they justify it. It actually pisses me off. So I will not use Adobe products. They're great, but I can't justify the cost for them.
Yeah.
I have some IDEs from JetBrains. I do like whatever the initial purchase is, and it's a perpetual license. And it's like for I think it's like $60 a year. To I don't mind paying that. Like I'm fine with that. I believe there should like software should not be free all the time. Mm-hmm. I believe in open source software, but I've actually been, you know, for some projects, I've been donating money because I want the developers to keep making it and continue development.
Yeah.
Because it's not free
for them.
For them. Yeah. So I think I'm well past the, oh, software should be free. And sure, it shouldn't be commercialized, but support the developer because, you know, if you don't, those projects go away. Yeah. So where was I going with that?
No idea.
I was concerned that when, I was concerned that when Canva bought Affinity, that it was going to
turn. That was what it was going to go.
Yeah. It's going to turn into a subscription, a web app. And I did the worst thing possible. I'm looking on Reddit and people are flipping out.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is non-productive. And then I started looking at all the subreddits I was subscribed to. And I'm like, yo, when did I get out of the, I typically only go to Reddit for dev stuff. And I started noticing that we talked a while ago. I took Reddit off my phone, but I kept going to the site because I was hooked into the whole spiral of like the politics subreddit, the mm-hmm. this and that sub, what, you know, public freak out. I'm like, I don't want to see that shit. I just don't care. It's not healthy. You know, no. It's not healthy to just look at the dribble all the time of just negativity. And I sent a screenshot in the group chat. I'm like, man, how bad can it be where people are like, it's just so negative and toxic.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, I mean, I agree. You know, like Reddit, I had gotten into Reddit the last couple of years and I still have it on my phone. I still check it pretty regularly, but I've been removing myself from a lot of the subreddits that I was following that I found similar to you, right? Where it's like this focus on the negative things that other people do and like somehow getting like a dopamine kick from that,
right?
You know, like that's a weird fucking equation when you stop and think about it. Like somebody else's shame equals I feel good.
Dude, I'm scrolling through Reddit and I'm telling myself in my head, and I know it, and I'm very well aware of it, this is not healthy.
Right.
And like the last few days, I'm like, this is not healthy. Every time I'm like, all right, I need to just wean myself off of So I started looking for particular software. Do they have forums? If not, if they only have a Reddit presence, okay. Deleting all the other crap. But we shouldn't have to prune these apps. Like, I have to literally go through and put hide.
Because it's constantly trying to test the limits of what it is that you're interested in.
Right?
Right? I mean, it's just like YouTube. It's just like any of these other algorithmic-based, you know, display columns, which is essentially all it is. And how we respond to that is what they're banking on, right? That your morbid curiosity will get the better of you. And all it takes is one click, right? It's just like targeted advertising. If you see an ad on Instagram, you're like, oh, that's interesting. Don't ever click it. Go to Google, open an incognito browser, and search for it.
You're like, welcome.
Because all you're going to see for the next month is ads for that exact product and ads for that product's competitors.
Yep. And it's so Florida just passed a law that bans 14-year-olds from social media. I don't necessarily agree or disagree. I think parents should be better parents. And I know that any parents out there, you know, hear me out first.
You suck.
Stop buying your kids smartphones. Like, I don't care if little Johnny's got one and your kid feels left out. Stop buying them the crap. Don't buy your kids tablets. Like, all those things should be, there should be some constraints. They're not going to be left out, right? What is happening in a group chat with a bunch of 13, 14-year-olds? I mean, nothing good.
Nothing productive. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, so we got an iPod for our 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. And it allows her to do, like, a little bit of messaging. And she can go on, like, YouTube Kids on it. And that's pretty much the only two things that she ever really uses it for. But even then, it's like I have to constantly check to see, like, what's going on in these group chats, like, you know, all of this stuff. And it's not something that she just has on her all the time.
Right.
That's something that we keep up where she can't get it. And once everything else has been completed for the day, okay, now you can have a fixed amount, 2 hours technology time a day.
I know we talked about this in an unpublished episode.
What are you talking about? Unpublished? We've never not published an episode we recorded. I get them out immediately.
But I think there's still a lot of onus on parents to manage the crap they're letting their kids see.
Yes. It's all on the parents, right? But it's the abdication of responsibility by a lot of parents. Where it's like, well, I don't have the time, or, you know, I can't put forth the effort to monitor this. And so it's up to this, you know, corporation to be the parent for my child when they're on this app.
To do a better job.
It's their responsibility. Yeah.
To do a better job of being a parent to my child outside of
exactly
myself.
I mean, it's just like YouTube Kids, right? Like, yes, YouTube provided this kids version of their app because they understand that kids want to watch videos.
No, they understand even, that you want to market the kids.
Yeah, there you go.
To be fair.
Yes, they understood that kids were a marketable entity based on that platform, but that parents didn't feel comfortable letting their kids have carte blanche access to all of YouTube.
Right.
But even then, there was stuff that people were specifically creating that starts out seemingly innocuous and then gets really freaking weird as it goes in. And even then, like, marketing to kids, like targeted marketing to kids like that.
Don't be so naive. Saturday morning cartoons. I know I grew up with them. I know you probably
absolutely.
You got the tail end of it. Those were all your age group. Literally got the...
We had lots of Saturday morning cartoons.
But you got the tail... Like, you guys did not get the steroid version of it. Like, I remember watching cartoons with my kids on the weekends when I could. They weren't the same commercials that
so that's fair.
That I had growing up. From cereals to...
Well, yeah, they weren't promoting cigarettes to kids anymore. Get it? I made a joke that you're old.
Well, there's an ad from the 40s where it said, give your kid a cigarette till they sleep better. I'm like, why are we doing that?
give him a thimble of whiskey. What's the worst that could happen?
Fair enough. But I think parents have abdicated their responsibility to raising their kids. I'm saying for the social media front, whether I'm just wired differently, I noticed that it wasn't healthy and I had to do something different. So for all the people out there that say that it's the company's responsibility, yeah, they probably shouldn't, you know, hoodwink you, but you should also be able to say, yeah, I need to like cut this back. This is crazy.
I mean, to me, a lot of it comes back to who does the company actually care about, right? If we're talking about Meta, right? Or, you know, even Reddit, who do they really care about? Do they care about the end users?
Right now it's shareholders with those two examples, right?
Well, and advertisers.
Sure.
Right. I mean, look at the shit that Twitter's in because of advertisers, right? And that's ultimately like Elon's trying to pretend like, oh, I'm doing this because I want to make everybody on the app feel like, well, they can say whatever they want, even though that's not really true, because if you say something he doesn't agree with, then he gets rid of it. But at the end of the day, the problem is he doesn't have the fucking advertisers.
Yeah. So he bought it for $44 billion. Last estimate I saw was 23, I think around $23 billion clean value of the company. I just don't... When it comes to social, I don't see a value of social media. Like it's just and I will say it for the umpteenth time. I think social media is just a really fancy group message, and that's about it. I don't see a value to it. Like even the stuff I follow on Reddit, there are times where I'm like, man, this isn't really needed. I follow like the developers of a software because that's where they choose to communicate of new features, blah, blah, blah. Other than that, I really don't care. I actually today started signing up for the forums of most of the software that I have that I use to see if they had forums. Cause I don't really want to see the rest of it. I don't care about everything all at once. So.
And the point is, right, that you are only – basically, you're seeking out the support channels for these software programs.
Right.
If they happen to be on Reddit, that's where it is. If they're not, you grossly prefer that.
Right.
Yeah.
So
– no, I think that makes sense. I just – you know what I mean? And this is kind of good timing – the valuation of these companies, you're talking about like Twitter being worth $23 billion based on what, right? Based on the access to the audience, based on the number of users that they have. Is this based on advertising, right? I mean, it's like Twitter itself generates very little actual profit from anything other than advertising, if I understand correctly.
Fair. But their social media companies are media companies. They're not social anything. They're just media companies and they provide a platform. Now the valuations are like fundamental valuations, like the back in the old days based on earnings per share, you know, like your earnings based on expenses.
Yeah.
Those have
disappeared?
Yeah.
We just make shit up now.
Because when you look at a social media company, the product is the monthly active users. That's the only metric that's talked about.
Which, to tie back into what you were talking about earlier with subscriptions, right? It all comes back to monthly active, right? Monthly active subscriptions, monthly active users, monthly active page views. Like all of this stuff is ultimately what determines the value of all of these different things.
But then when you look at the... Yeah, I don't understand the value. Like even I don't want to fuck Trump.
I know, but Truth Social.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck. $9 billion fucking dollars. I mean, that's almost half.
You set me up on that one.
Well, I didn't, but you walked me into it, and I went, oh yeah, he's talking about valuation of companies. And okay, I did set you up a little bit.
Yeah.
I did walk you right in. Andre, I have this nice pile of leaves that are just very carefully spread out over here. I'd like you to walk over top of this and not worry about what might be underneath.
I was in my mind, like, navigating away from, like...
Oh, wait. I'm like, no. We're going to bring that right back in.
So there's an intrinsic value to, like, to the cost or the value of a brand, right? Mm-hmm. That's why I get immensely annoyed when people say, I'm building my brand. I'm like, shut up, you're a person.
Well, but even, right, like, Trump has talked about that a lot. In terms of the valuation of his properties or the valuation of him or, you know, all that, that it's like, my brand is worth X amount of dollars. And it's like, okay, I understand to some degree, right? The idea that a certain brand might have a multiplier effect.
Yes.
Right.
Nike.
But it can't be that standalone with literally no product, that brand has value, right?
So,
like, if Nike isn't making shoes, if they're not making sporting good equipment, the brand itself, Nike.
Well, it's kind of baked into the equation, in my opinion.
It is.
I think that think about the Bud Light fiasco. They built up all this goodwill with customers and consumers,
and then they said, let's target another market that has no interest in drinking our beer,
right?
Let's make a promotional deal with someone from that side. Let's see. I can't imagine that would have negative impacts.
This cannot blow up in our face. So then there's that. So there is the valuation of Truth Social is ballooned, and I think analysts are like, they're sounding the alarm bells.
Yeah,
but it also,
the company has lost money.
Yeah,
right. The company is negative. They are in the red in terms of their profit margin.
They made,
and yet they're saying, no, this is worth $9 billion.
They made $3 to $4 million in ad spend last quarter, I believe, or last year, and lost $39 million. So net. They lost, let's say, what, $42-43 million, and only buffered some of that loss. And people are, and SPACs are, let me back up. Let me just tell you what I really want to say. I don't care about Wall Street. Like, I think it is a ruse to keep the wealthiest. And I have nothing against people being wealthy. But when we try to commingle Wall Street performance with the average person's, like, or and everybody else, basically.
Yep. Their average day-to-day life experience, right?
Yeah, it doesn't connect.
Nope.
Like, I was listening to, the Dow's going to hit 40,000.
Who cares?
Who gives a flying shit if the Dow
hits? Except for the fucking Wall Street guys, right?
Right. So everybody that says, oh, I've got my 401k, I've got a
portfolio. What are you doing with your 401k right now?
I have mutual
funds. What does it matter if your fucking 401k or your mutual fund goes up $1,000 or down $1,000 today? It doesn't fucking matter.
Right. It's all, that's so ingrained in our society now. But and I'm not anti-capitalist. I'm not anti-free market.
I'm well aware.
I am.
Between the two of us.
Right? But the measuring stick of Wall Street is so passe. It's just like, that's 1960s, 1970s max of relevancy to most Americans in this country. End of story. Like, it. And on top of that, the top 2%, and I'll say 2% because I find it hard to believe it's only 1% of investors are the only ones that make money on Wall Street. Your mutual funds aren't doing dick. Even since the Magellan Fund, which is, all right, ladies and gentlemen, just to give you the unabridged edition, Peter Lynch started the Magellan Fund, for one of the strongest first mutual funds ever. And it was a way for people to actually invest in the market to where they act, where there was a, it made sense. Mm-hmm. Nothing has ever in recent history compared to the success of the Magellan Fund.
Yeah.
All the basics of investing, like individual investors, were so priced out of the market. In order to get a decent return, you have to buy, like, I think the average now is like the average stock price is on like $10,000 to $15,000 per share. Average people, or I don't want to say average, most people don't have that type of money to invest in a company.
Right.
End of story.
Which is where mutual funds become a
way in.
Yeah, exactly. A valuable investment tool right. for some people. I mean, exactly. I may not be able to go out and buy, you know, shares of Berkshire Hathaway, right? But
if you could.
Yeah. But I can invest in a mutual fund that has a holding in some Berkshire Hathaway.
Right.
So, and yeah, I mean, the idea of diversifying so that you're not just stuck in one specific, you know, or a small, you know, handful of stocks. And so, I mean, and you've got all of the different funds that basically follow the different markets or the different.
Yeah, index funds are bullshit too. Like they're all exposed to the elements. I'm not a financial planner. I don't play one on TV.
Not financial advice. If it works for all those fucking crypto guys, it works for us too.
But it is something I'm interested in. Something I've learned over the years, and it's a shell game. And the American, like not the GOP American people, the American people have been duped by this philosophy of 401ks and mutual funds. Here, you hit the nail on the head. Crypto was cool the first 6 months. And then when everybody got involved, it became a shit show.
Right. I mean, it's like getting into a pyramid scheme at the end of the scheme.
And
that's all crypto ever was. I'm sorry. But with no actual intrinsic value tied to these assets or securities or whatever you want to call them, how you can sit there and say that it's not a fucking pyramid scheme when the only way to make more money is to get other people to buy into it?
The Altman guy got 25 years and he had to give up $18 billion. I'm like, okay.
Whoops. Actually, that's Sam Bankman-Fried, not Sam Altman. Sorry for the mistake.
Back to my shit.
Yeah, I wish I had $18 billion that I had to give up, right? Yeah. Like,
so
not that I want to spend 25 years in even like a white collar prison, but fuck, like
he'll be living nice in that prison. He's probably
got a computer while he's in there, and he'll be committing more financial fraud crimes.
It'll probably get out in 8 to 10. But he's this fairly young guy. But my point on Wall Street, I'm not talking about both sides of my mouth. I'm just saying like it doesn't help the average. I gotta stop saying average. It doesn't help everybody else.
Right. It's not a good measurement of how everybody else is feeling every time that they check their bank account. Right. That's what I think the misleading measurement is. It's like, oh, if the stock market's doing good, then everybody's doing good. And it's like, yeah, but the vast majority of people who are invested in the stock market, not financially, but just numerically, don't see that day-to-day fluctuation as an actual influence on their day-to-day lives, right? I'm not going to the store and deciding how much groceries I can buy based on what my 401k says it's worth today.
And if you,
A, because that's a shitty fucking way to decide your family budget, but B, because that's also a completely unrealistic way to look at it.
Right, and the fact that people's retirements are locked into 401ks with a supplement of the goalpost move, like what is it called? Social Security.
Yeah,
it's like that can be diminished in like a day. It just takes one global event, and this is doomsday. But it takes one global event to wipe out your 401k.
Right.
End of story. We've seen two of them in the last 30 or 20 years, 2008-2009. So that financial crisis and COVID.
Yep.
And what happened? People were like.
Which, what a fucking joke on COVID, right? Like, COVID, markets tank, everybody sells off terrified, and then markets come back just fine. Oh, you lost a shit ton of fucking money because you panicked.
Well,
I mean, that's the other thing, though.
Companies, like, to some degree, right? Companies bought back available stock. So that was...
No, I know. I understand that part, but I'm just saying that if you are going to invest in the stock market, if you have a 401k, if you have a Roth IRA, just fucking leave the shit alone. Like, just leave it. Don't fucking touch it. Don't think you're some day trader who's going to go in and manipulate the market and figure out, I'm going to sell today, I'm going to buy tomorrow, I'm going to make billions of dollars off of it. No. Like, fucking invest in companies that either you believe in or buy a mutual fund and just leave it. Like, I have two things that I have purchased in my account, right? In my portfolio. I have the Vanguard, which I'm sure is something that Andre would say that's a stupid fucking thing to invest in. And then I bought Apple stock because I personally believe in Apple as a company.
I should have bought Apple at 7, and then I definitely should have bought it at 14. But sure. Peter Lynch talks.
I bought it at over $100 a share. Wow. But it's something that I still believe,
yeah,
because of the way that that company runs itself, that it's a valuable investment.
I think they're going to beat the DOJ too.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to double down on that. You're right.
I
put it all on black.
I just want to say thank you for all the people that subscribe and listen to the Chris and Andre Show. We're very glad and grateful that you listen and you've subscribed. We're going to get on a regular cadence. Please go to the Chris and Andre Show, or chrisandandreshow.com. Subscribe to our audio podcast. We are on fireside.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube, obviously. Wherever you're listening to podcasts, you can probably find the audio version. And yeah, we really appreciate it. I'm very grateful and humbled, to be honest with you, that people actually enjoy the podcast. And if you like what you hear, hit the like button, leave comments. If you have suggestions, always like just let us know. We'll be glad to answer that. We do involve and engage in the comments, even the weird ones. So yeah. Chris is just standing there stoic.
I don't know what you just were like, I'm going to do this thing and didn't tell me what you were going to say. So, yeah, what he said.